Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We talk about this often. We know that Israel is regarded as one of the strongest military powers. But many argue, myself included, that we are losing the battle. And I would even argue maybe have lost the battle. I'm not sure. But that we can still talk about of public opinion. And it's not a PR battle because I don't think it's PR. Is it communication? Is it focus on different priorities? Is it the fact that, and that's something that I argue, is we talk facts, but in fact, the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic crew are selling feelings, and we need to do that better? Well, I don't have the answer. And I'm not sure that anybody does, but somebody who is on the front line of this is Rachel Lester, IDF spokesperson, unit reservist, speaker, author, and content creator. Very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on Chai FM. I hope you are well.
Yes, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So. We know this, you know, and we hear this over and over again. Israel is a great military power, but in international media, social media, we're struggling. Why do you think that is? First of all, do you think that is?
Yeah, we are definitely struggling with conveying our messages across social media and in the legacy media. And there are so many reasons for it. One of them is that, as you said, we fight this war with facts, and the other side is fighting it with emotions. Mm. And there's just no way to fight emotions with facts. When you see pictures of dead Palestinian children, there's no way to fight that with facts about, oh, Hamas put them there. Hamas made the battlefield so that Palestinians would get hurt in the process of this war. It doesn't matter. It doesn't land. It doesn't sell. You need to fight facts with emotions. Other reasons that we're losing the battlefield is that I think we have so many spokespeople for Israel who are all white and mostly men. I think that we need to have more diverse voices. Israel is full of young Muslim, Arab, Druze, Black, diverse people, and we have none of those people going on TV and representing Israel and making Israel's case to the international world. Lastly, the thing that I want to say is that I think one of the big problems that contributes to the social media war being lost on our side is that when Israeli soldiers do bad things, we almost never see them get punished. We almost never see the country condemning them. Mm. We almost never see their family, their peers, fellow soldiers condemning them. And we basically just kind of see it get swept under the rug. And something that I argue a lot in my book, Digital Warrior, is that soldiers who do bad things need to get punished, need to go to jail, need to be removed from combat to send the message that we are not going to tolerate being, you know, like we call ourselves the most moral army in the world, and we need to live up to that. And anybody who threatens that reputation needs to be held accountable.
Yeah. And that said, anytime an Israeli soldier does something or is seen to be doing something, that is amplified beyond the extreme. So things could be happening, and it's not an excuse, obviously, on the other side with Israel's enemies, and that kind of gets completely ignored by media. But if you do see poor behavior by an IDF soldier, that is amplified. Is there a way to combat that, or is that just something that needs to be accepted, that this is how that battlefield looks?
One thing that I think can change is that, so like I said, when soldiers do bad things, they should be punished, but it's also a matter of when soldiers do bad things and film them and photograph them and upload them to social media. Mm. That's a separate problem. that is just as, problematic for Israel. And not that I'm at all arguing for soldiers to get away with doing bad things as long as they don't
Don't
upload them to
film
social
it.
media.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely not. But what I think needs to happen is that before every single combat mission, soldiers get a briefing with their commanders about intelligence and what they expect to see and what they expect to do. And they need to be reminded every single time about the behavior that they're expected to uphold, and that the social media, like that they're expected to leave their phones behind, not post anything about their mission, not only because of Israel's reputation, but for their own safety,
Safety.
for the safety of fellow soldiers, but especially because Israel's reputation can't handle soldiers, doing bad things, and posting about them. So I think that one thing that needs to change is that the army needs to take this as seriously as anything else, and do these kind of briefings before every single operation, and really drill into everyone's heads that their behavior is at the, of the utmost importance, and anybody who is, and really emphasize and actually put into action that anybody who deviates from the expected behavior is going to be punished and removed from combat.
Is there an acceptance now in Israel? Because and I'm absolutely convinced there wasn't. October 7th, 2023, when all of these fronts opened up against Israel in terms of a military campaign, I don't think then there was a recognition that media and social media was a front as well. Do you think that that has changed in the last 1,000 days?
It's a great question. I can tell you that from my position in the IDF spokesperson's unit, I think that October 7th woke up a lot of the top military brass to the fact that we are fighting an information war that is as serious as the war on the ground. And they really, the people in the IDF spokesperson's unit, really prioritized the international audience for the first time that I was in service. I served for 4 years, and then I was in reserves for 6 months plus. I think that we got a lot of incredible, media opportunities, such as releasing the testimonies of caught terrorists, something that would have normally been classified and kept under wraps forever. As well as the phone calls between IDF officers and civilians in Gaza, and civilians in Gaza and Hamas members, and for example, when the hospital director at one of the hospitals in Gaza was overheard by the IDF talking about how Hamas was stealing all their fuel. That's something that ordinarily would have been kept classified forever, and the IDF chose to release it to the public. With English subtitles. And that, I think, was a big, big step forward. That being said, I do think that the average Israeli still doesn't understand the importance and the consequence of their actions. If they did, then we wouldn't have been brought to The Hague on charges of genocide because of soldiers doing inappropriate and horrific things like stealing jewelry from the people in Gaza's houses that they were, doing operations in, and posing with their lingerie, and, setting humanitarian aid on fire, and things like that, things that make me sick to my stomach. I think that those Israelis live in a world where they don't understand the consequences of their actions, and that they're just kind of supported by a society that prioritizes, like being strong against Hamas, against, over everything else. And they don't understand that what they're doing is actually really wrong, and that it doesn't matter what happened on October 7th. It doesn't justify doing bad things, even, on a minor scale,
Yeah, I was going
at
to
the end
say
of the
it's
day.
obviously quite minor, but the point is that it does have an impact because we're living in a very hostile environment and one that is looking for those things, and in fact,
that are judging to hate us.
And are judging that as on the same level, perhaps as actual terror, and that and almost equating those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really unfair situation we're in. It's a really unfair situation that, like, let's say, for example, the soldier who smashed the Jesus statue.
Yes.
That was a really disgusting act, but at the same time, you can't compare that to Hezbollah launching rockets that kill Israeli civilians.
No.
So I think we're just held to different standards, and Israelis kind of have this defeatist mentality that, you know, it doesn't matter what we do, the world is always going to hate us. And I think that it's really important to send the message that we actually have control over what the world thinks of us if we just act appropriately and, you know, at all times, and that we have the power to affect, like, we and you, every Israeli who posts on social media, you have the power to affect world opinion, and you have to hold that responsibility with great power.
Do you think that part of the problem is that that message hasn't necessarily come through from government either? When we look at some of the comments and some of the actions by the Ben-Gvirs of the world, that certainly doesn't indicate an ability to read a global room.
Absolutely. I think somebody needs to do a massive overhaul of the government, you know, public social media accounts and what they say on the news. I think that what Ben-Gvir does is absolutely, what Ben-Gvir does and says is absolutely disgusting. And, you know, we can work so hard to shape public opinion, and mm-hmm. then Ben-Gvir and Smotrich just dump it down the drain, flush it down the drain. I think that it's a huge problem. I think that Netanyahu is enabling this by not really condemning them or removing them from their offices after they do horrible things. I think that it's a really big problem, as you said, that, you know, they're setting the example for so many young Israelis, as well as the Israelis who voted for them, who support that kind of inappropriate behavior and speech. I think that the only solution is to vote them out in the election that is coming up in October. And I really hope that a different prime minister would prioritize Israel's, standing in the world stage more than is being prioritized right now.
So a lot of what you're saying at this stage or so far is about Israel's own behavior, the IDF government. I mean, I was saying the same thing. But to some extent, in a hostile world where media is being used as on another front to delegitimize Israel, to influence governments and people around the world, even if Israel and everybody's behavior was impeccable, there would still be the same problem. What do you think that Israel could do differently in order to deal with that in a more constructive and smarter way?
Absolutely. You're completely right. Even if every single Israeli behaved impeccably from now until the end of time, the world would still find reasons
exactly.
to hate us.
Mm.
So what I think is a few things that Israel could do better is, as I said earlier, humanize the Israeli army and the Israeli soldiers and Israeli people by fighting this war with emotions as opposed to facts. Something I noticed when I was watching interviews from October 7th and October 8th, was that the Israelis who were going on international news were very tough, very resilient. The Palestinians who were going on the news were already crying, even though Israel hadn't even responded yet. So I think that Israelis need to, you know, figure out how to be more in touch with their emotions, which I know is much easier said than done, but to convey the emotional story as well as the factual story. Another thing that I think we could do differently is, I think, well, as I said before, you know, I think we could be conveying our message with more diverse voices. I think that we could, do a better job of speaking the language of the younger generations. I think that most of the time we are speaking to people in their 50s, people who grew up with Israel being the underdog, who already have a tendency to support Israel, but we're losing the war on people who are,
Younger.
18, 25, even 30. And we need to figure out how to reach those people where they're at, whether it's investing in going on podcasts as opposed to CNN and Fox News, whether it's opening accounts on social media platforms that I don't even know exist because I'm 31 and I'm not in touch
Oh,
with
you are
18
old, old, old.
year olds.
Yeah, but that's exactly it. It's really to find to talk to your audience where you find them and not where we like to be found.
Exactly. Exactly. That's something that I tried really hard to do when I was in reserves making videos for IDF social media. I was the one who was ignoring the directives from above of what the IDF wanted us to be talking about and started making videos about what people in America were talking about on social
Absolutely
media, what
right.
they actually wanted to hear about. And so instead of talking about Hamas, how horrible, not well, in addition to talking about Hamas being evil and butchering Israelis, I started t making videos about Hamas being evil and putting their own civilians in harm's way. And that
Absolutely.
was content that resonated much more because people are conditioned to want to fight for the underdog, which is
Underdog.
the people of Gaza, and they don't want to hear about Israelis after, after October 7th, after one day.
That is so interesting. We do need to leave it here. Rachel Lester, Rachel Lester. Is it Rachel or Rachel? Can I just
It's Rachel.
Rachel. Okay, Rachel
And I
Lester.
just want to add, if you want
Yes.
to hear more of my perspective, my book Digital Warrior is out on Amazon. Just search
Brilliant.
Digital Warrior for paperback or for Kindle. It's available in South Africa. And thank you so much for having me on.
It's a great, great pleasure. And just keep doing the great work that you are doing, Rachel Lester. Thank you for chatting to us.